my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, of course, our show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Do want to remind you that we'll have draft coverage coming up Thursday from T-Line in West Nashville and Friday from Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles. It'll be me, Big Joe, and Derek Mason on Thursday, and Dr. Crane, Connor Newt, and Chris Sanders on Friday. Looking forward to that. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock on both days. Thursday on 102.5 The Game. Friday will be on YouTube and Sports Talk 8:30 a.m. And it's all presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pozona MD, because your roster's full, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water Power and Air Home Generator. So excited to have them all on board and excited to be talking the draft and not doing these crazy simulators.
I like this. Chase McCabe, can you name the three teams that have never selected first overall in the NFL draft? Three teams that have never selected first in the NFL draft. And they're all, well, two in the AFC, one in the NFC.
Two in the AFC, one in the NFC. They've never had the first overall pick. New England Patriots.
No.
Okay.
Nope. Keep going.
Bengals?
Nope. They had Kajana Carter one year and Dan Wilkinson one year. And
Texans. No, they had they've done it, yeah.
So one team that if you – Titans hate this team. Titans fans hate this team.
Titans fans hate this team. Baltimore? Yep.
Baltimore's never had a number one pick.
Interesting.
Now, this is just since they got here in 96 was their first year, so out of the way. These next two played in the Super Bowl against each other within the last 15 years. One AFC, one NFC. And this one team used to be in the AFC. Uh-oh.
Seattle.
Seattle's never had a number one pick. They picked second in 1976 and 1993. Was a 93 pick Rick Meyer, I think it was. This other team has never had a number one pick.
AFC?
AFC.
Played in Seattle, played at Pittsburgh.
Nope.
No.
Man. I was under duress all day, man.
Denver?
Denver's never had a number one pick.
That's right, because they traded for Elway. They didn't actually select Elway.
That's right. They've had second overall in 1962 and 2011, but they've never had. So the Seahawks, the Ravens, and the Broncos have never had a number one pick overall. I found that a little fascinating with me as well to do all that. Fox NFL came out with the Titans win totals for 2026. Where do you think they land? Over, under?
6.5.
Look at you, Kreskin. Yep, six, 6.5. These two teams are tied at the bottom. You already know which one is, which one of them is, and it's the other one. These teams, 4.5 is their win total.
Four and a half.
What's the worst?
Dolphins.
Friend? Dolphins is one, yeah. The other one should be easy. The team, the franchise we hate on this show.
Arizona
at 4.5. So you lump the bottom ones in there. Cleveland, Tennessee, Vegas, the Jets, Arizona, Miami, all 6.5 and under right there as well. So, and leading, okay. Well, I mean, look at this. They got Jacksonville 9.5, Houston 9.5, Indianapolis is at 7.5. I mean, look, the division is there for the Titans to take. If they play well and things fall their way, I'm not so concerned about the Texans. I am the Jags. The Jags are good. It's a good defense. The offense is a little bit better. Thankfully, they don't have a number one pick this year. So there's a chance. Again, you just got to be better than the three teams in your division. That's it.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Don't do that.
Well, I mean, that's what what you did.
That's right, man. So the win totals. But Baltimore and the Rams are 11.5. Then there's a plethora of teams at 10. Detroit, Green Bay, Kansas City, Chargers, Philadelphia, Seattle, and San Francisco. That's it right there. So who knows? I mean, it all fluctuates. As I say, it's all fluid.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Up and down. That is right. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Billy wants to weigh in on our question of the day. Billy, what you got?
Mine is John Imbesoil, the Who. They did the 9/11 show and sounded better than they have sounded in years. And they were all ready to record a new album and go on a big tour. And then John had to commit suicide, and that just killed me.
Mm. Wait, he died in 2002? I thought he was still alive.
He died not long after the 9/11 show.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't remember exactly how long, but it wasn't that. It was probably less than a year. But, yeah, it was. They sounded fantastic in that 9/11 show. They basically stole the show.
Right.
And you can't replace John Imbesoil, and they haven't since. So, yeah,
no.
That one stung me pretty hard.
You know, and also, Imminent Front is one of the greatest underrated rock songs of all time with one of the greatest intros of all time. You agree?
I agree with anything. The Who's one of my favorite bands. The Beatles was my band when I was a kid, but as I got into being a teenager, I seen The Who in Murfreesboro in 1975, didn't know one song from them. Came out of there and just started buying one album after another. That's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Was that the one where Keith Moon walked out as an astronaut?
Yes. It was in Murfreesboro during the spring. Murfreesboro used to have a spring break concert. They had some really good shows back in them days, and The Who was that in 75.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Good. That's a random one off the beaten path. I like that. Thank you, Billy, for that. It's really nice.
All right, guys. Have a good day now.
See you,
too.
Buddy.
Thank you, Billy.
Yeah, so our question today is honor of Prince being passed away 10 years ago today. What musician passing away really affected you? Yeah, John Entwistle, he was 57. He's my age.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
We got several on the text line.
Well, real quick, the Clark County Medical Examiner determined that his death was due to a heart attack induced by undetermined amount of cocaine. Mm. And Twistle already had severe cardiovascular disease and usually smoked 20 cigarettes a day. Good Lord. Thank you, Billy. That's a good one, man.
Yeah. Let's go through the text line. Skyler says, Toby Keith. Matter of fact, I'm buying beer after work to listen to all his classics.
Nice.
4805, John Prine in 2020.
Ooh, during COVID, too.
Sylvia in Clarksville has two, Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley, two of the most influential musicians of all time. Jeremy in Clarksville, Tom Petty. Glenn from Greenbrier says, Toby Keith, he did many USO tours. So that's a good one. Evan says, Chester Bennington, and then Joey Jordison from Slipknot. He was the original drummer. That's a good one.
Okay. That's a good one.
0412, Glenn Frey and Jimmy Buffett.
Ooh, Frey passed away in January of 2016, so it's been a while, man, too. Gosh.
Greg Pogue tells us the best concert I ever saw was the 1975 The Who at Murphy Center, and yes, that's when Keith Moon came out in a real astronaut suit from NASA.
That's how I knew that, Greg. Thanks to you, buddy.
5546, Kurt Cobain. It's a good one.
I mean, he's been gone 32 years. Imagine how he lived. The impact. I mean, he had a massive impact anyway, but had he lived.
Tom Petty getting another vote. Randy Rhodes and Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, when Ozzy, you know, he'd just done the last show, and he was not in good health. But that was a bad day. I think it's July 22nd. We lost Aaron Donick, My dog Sawyer passed away, and Ozzy Osbourne.
Holy cow. Randy Rhoads, if I remember correctly, his last show was in Knoxville.
Oh, really?
And then they were playing in Daytona Beach. Like 2 days later, they went down early, and they got in that airplane. We're doing touch and go, and the plane crashed. Also, in Knoxville, Take It to the who was the original singer of Take It to the Limit? It wasn't Timothy B. Schmidt.
It was Randy.
Randy Meiser?
Randy Meiser,
yeah. So he didn't feel like singing the song, and him and Glenn Frey got into a fist fight, and he quit the band in Knoxville.
I didn't know that.
So two of the important things in rock and roll happened after a show in Knoxville. So if your band's got problems, don't go to Knoxville and play.
Yeah.
Apparently. Let's say what happened up there.
Craig says this is a good one in COVID. In fact, I think he was like the first celebrity to die of COVID, Joe Diffie.
Joe Diffie. Crushing.
Yeah.
Crushing loss.
I sat on my front porch listening to Joe Diffie, you know, just when we had nothing to do, drinking some bourbon. And when Ships That Don't Come In came on, I literally was in tears.
Oh,
of just like that, because it's such a great song.
Yep. There's a rumor that he was such a good demo singer that there was a song that Garth had. Garth's like, I'm not going to do that song. I can't do that song better than him. That was the rumor back in the early 90s.
I believe it.
They said he had silver, starts with a B.
Yep.
Because he was such a good singer.
Yep. I've heard that before. That was his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
1137, Glenn Frey. Another good one.
Yep. You know, you know this, but... Him and Jimmy wrote Gypsies in the Palace.
Yep.
Great song.
Yep.
Great song.
And he and Jackson Browne wrote Take It Easy.
Take It Easy.
2076. Is this true? The original owner of the Sounds, Conway Twitty?
He was one of them.
One of them?
Yep.
But.
Hello, darling.
It was him. Oh, that's right. Because Richard Sturban was a part of it.
There's a bunch of, like, name owners. I'm sure they probably 2% of the team, but it was good. I mean, that was a thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty, which is still one of the greatest bits of Family Guy.
Right.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got a lot of people wanting to weigh in. Gator Mike, he's got one. What you got, Mike?
Yeah, Chase, you ran it off right when Dr. Crane put me back on hold. But, Chester Bennington would be mine. We were down at I guess Hollywood Studios, and my phone starts blowing up about the Chester Bennington guy. So that was like July 2017. And fortunately, I did get to see them finally live back in Nashville January 2015, thanks to your good counterpart right there, Mr. Joe Dubin. So that is a memory I will cherish that I got to see Chester play because of my good buddy Joe Dubin.
Thanks, okay. Mal. Let him know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Nick wants to weigh in on our question of the day. What you got, Nick?
Yeah, so I have a crazy story. So the day, I guess it was probably like in June of 2009, if I'm not mistaken, I was actually in front of Michael Jackson's house when he died.
What?
Were you stalking him? What were you doing?
No. My wife and I were doing a Hollywood Homes tour, right? And so we're going up to his. We're going up to his house, and literally we're coming down the street. And there's an ambulance that's going down the street right by his house, and we pull up there, and a guy was saying, "Hey guys, Michael Jackson just died." Right. So this is 2009. This is before smartphone type stuff. So you remember like those little windy cameras, those disposable cameras?
Yeah.
So I told my wife, "I was like, dude, let's take a picture of the front gate." Because it'll be time stamped, right? And so we have the date on a picture in our living room with the front gate of his house, the time and the day that he died. And as a matter of fact, so he died at like 2:25 p.m., but nobody knew about it till like after 5 o'clock. So we were one of the first people in the world to know that Michael Jackson died.
So do you have the picture?
I do. I still have the picture. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And what's even crazier, here's what people forget. You guys might remember this. So at 9 o'clock in the morning that same day, we were down in Hollywood, like doing the walk of, you know, like seeing the stars on the Walk of Fame and all that stuff.
Sure.
And we come across Farrah Fawcett's star. And when we get there, like as we're just walking, like news you know, like news vans start pulling up there, and they were asking us if we wanted to be interviewed because Farrah Fawcett had just died.
That's right.
So if you go back and look at history, she actually died earlier that day. So we were like in the middle of both of those things that same day. Wasn't that crazy?
Holy cow. Yeah. And you got how many pictures? You got the front gate. Did you get a picture of the ambulance or just the front gate?
No, just the front gate. Because, you know, when the ambulance went by, we had no idea what
it
was.
Okay.
But we were just going right down the street. And, so a guy said that, you know, the guy said Michael Jackson died. Well, our bus driver's like, no, there's no way that happened because he was fixing to do that final tour called This Is It. And they're like, dude, he just took out a $600 million life insurance policy. There's no way that he died because they'd have to pay that policy and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, yeah, even after he died, the insurance company had to pay like almost $600 million for his death.
Holy cow, man. That's crazy. What a story, man.
Yeah.
Hey, was that tour worth it, though, besides what happened? Was it worth the tour?
Well, he never went on tour because
no,
he was getting ready. Cause,
your home tour.
What a great memory. Like, the only regret I have is not staying in L.A. longer, like maybe going to the hospital to see all those little, like, 50-year-old freaks of nature dressing up in, like, a red leather jacket moonwalking at the hospital. So, but other than that, it was great.
Oh, that's great. Nick, thanks, Bubba, for sharing that, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, have a good day, man. Yeah, so our question today is Prince died 10 years ago today. What slow musician passed away that really, really bothered you in ways that are almost indescribable. So Chase is Buffett, Dr. Crane is Toby Keith, mine's Eddie Van Halen, but they all affect us in different ways.
Yep, 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming. Keep the answers coming. We'll do all that and much more. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game on this Tuesday. We'll talk marathon coming up here in just a few minutes, but a lot of you wanting to weigh in on our question of the day. This one has taken off for sure, which is, Joe,
10 years ago Prince passed away. So what musician passing away really, really affected you? And, you know, Prince was one that certainly affected a lot of people.
615-737-1025. Joe wants to weigh in. Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
Dwayne Allman was my great. I used to watch him at the Briar Patch over on 5th and Lee back in 66.
Yeah.
That's before I got drafted into the Army. But anyway, they lost almost all of their band members. Butch Trucks, Barry Oakley, and Greg Allman are all dead. And I just wanted to say that, and I appreciate y'all.
Yeah,
thank you, Joe. Appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Joe. Oh,
sorry, Joe. Let's go to Ed. Ed wants to weigh in. Ed, what you got?
Hey, good. Thank you for taking my call. I got Charlie Daniels.
Ooh,
that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I attended, especially his volunteer jams. I probably went to 6 or 8 of them, I guess. And in fact, one year, one of our buddies was Charlie's bus driver, and he got us in backstage at Starwood when it was still open, and man, they put on a show. That was great.
Oh man, how many volunteer jams did you go to, do you think?
Oh, I guess I went to, I know I had tickets up to the 10th, but I didn't go to the first ones that were at War Memorial Auditorium. The first one I went to was at the Municipal Auditorium.
Oh, you know what's funny, Ed, is that for years the record for quickest sellout at Municipal Auditorium was one of the volunteer jams with Charlie Daniels. I forget which one it was, but that was like the fastest ticket sellout ever at Municipal Auditorium.
Yeah, I saw everybody from Cab Calloway to Dickie Betts.
Oh, man. Dickie Betts.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate you sharing, buddy.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Thank you, Ed.
All right. Bye-bye.
Kenny the Mailman wants to weigh in. What's up, Kenny?
Hello, good friends. Now, this didn't really directly affect me, but it affected my whole school. Joe, where have I told you I went to high school in Nashville?
Cone, right?
All right, yeah. It was about November of 1977. Lynyrd Skynyrd was involved in a huge crash, and about half the band members were killed. Do y'all remember that?
It was before my time, but I obviously know the story because I was a huge Skynyrd fan.
Yeah, and they didn't think they were going to be able to come back. So, I mean, not only was it the number one music band at our school, it was also the number one fashion fan for the girls. To be the best dressed girls, your concert shirt had to match your tube socks. So everything you had, yeah, you got that right. Everything they had was Lynyrd Skynyrd. And the urban myth started. Have y'all ever seen the cover of the album Street Survivors?
No, yes. I have not.
That had just came out, and it's them standing there engulfed in flames.
Ooh, yep.
Well, the myth was, if you come and play it backwards, then you'll start hearing people scream. And it's like, well, they also left out the fact if you were smoking dope at the time and played it backwards, you would hear them scream. So at all the music rooms, everything, you'd hear people playing it backwards saying, see, it's true, it's true. But the Lynyrd Skynyrd crash, that was the Cone High School thing for fall of 1977.
Holy cow.
Listen, Joe, I got something very special for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm reading a book called Confessions of a Practical Joker, The Life of Fred Russell. Have you ever read this book?
I have not.
Oh, my. I'm going to re-gift this to you after I've read it. I love practical jokes. You love practical jokes. We have never reached the level Mr. Russell, who wrote for the Banner, reached.
Yeah, Russell?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Here's the best one I've read so far. During World War II, the biggest house in Belle Meade, he was friends with the people that owned it, and they would rent it out every now and then for people having to pass through town or in the Army or anything. He got a sheet of Nashville official paper. It was before Metro Nashville. It just had the little Nashville emblem. And he wrote these people's names on it and said, these people have volunteered to be the first to sponsor the prostitution rehabilitation program in Nashville. They are going to house 10 prostitutes for the next year. Please don't call if there's people going in and out late at night. We have it under control.
Oh, yes.
Hundreds of people protested. Churches got involved.
Good
Councilmen
grief.
Were called to visit this house. And the people never figured out who did it till he finally, about 20 years after that, admitted to it. Can you imagine pulling a prank like that?
Especially who that Fred Russell was. I mean, he was just people loved him as a sports writer.
Mild-mannered. He was a personal friend of mine, lived at Richland Place. I'd sit and talk with him. You could not imagine he would have been the one that mailed out the prostitution rehabilitation program.
Oh, that's great. So,
it is. I'm going to get this to you. All my best to you.
All right. Thank you,
Bubba. Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it.
That's great.
Man, that is good stuff. Coming up next, I know this is a big event for our city. You obviously love this one as well. Adam Zox, who's the race director for the marathon, is going to join us coming up next, as it is coming up. So we'll tell you more about that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Coming up this weekend, it's time for the Rock and Roll Nashville Run Series. To talk more about that, let's bring in Adam Zox, who has joined the show before. Adam, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. I feel like you probably get this way every year, but hard to believe it's here.
I know. April comes around so quickly, and every year seems to be a little bit quicker. This is year 26, so we'll be back in Nashville for the St. Jude Rock and Roll Running Series, and you know, looking forward to a great weekend.
So what can people expect that might be different this year than from years past?
Yeah, essentially it's the same formula that we've been using. Has been so successful in this event over the years with the races, the music on the course, the great finish line, finish festival at Nissan Stadium. We did have to make a few adjustments to the course due to some expected construction that didn't actually happen, or kind of happened. So a little different around Bicentennial Mall area, and Woodland Street was supposed to be out of commission, but it's not, so we're still able to run there. East Nashville is a little bit different as well, but for the most part, it's the event that we've been putting on for so many years.
Adam, I'm going to miss getting up with you at 4 o'clock in the morning doing TV hits with you. Is that okay?
I would welcome that.
Those were some good old days back in the day. If people want to last second do this, can they still sign up and run?
They can. Yeah, we still have space available. You can register at the expo, which is at Music City Center on Thursday and Friday. Half marathon, 5K, and 10K still have spots available. The marathon is sold out. We're up in the marathon, which is great, the 26.2, and the mile is sold out also on the Sunday events. But everything else, still plenty of room to get more runners out there, and also lots of opportunity for our volunteers to help out around the weekend as well.
I love it. What was the genesis? I don't know. Were you here when you added the 5K and the 10K and the 1 mile? Because that seems like it really put the marathon over the top. Like, more people wanted to do that because they can't do a marathon. I thought whoever came up with that, and I'm going to give you credit, Adam, of adding the 5K and 10K has been just a rousing success for the marathon.
Yeah, I mean, it helps bring more people into the event, as you said. You know, when way back we had, it was marathon only, then we added the half in the third year, and that helped save the event, essentially, and get it rolling. And then a bunch of years later, just brought the 5K and 10K, which we're hoping that will get people into the sport and into the event, and then they, you know, they go on to run the half and the marathon later on. But, yeah, 5K and 10K will have over 2,000 in each of those races.
I think it's great. Also, you touched on it briefly, but the Health and Fitness Expo at the Music City Convention Center is free. And if you're any type of fitness, you should go to this because there's so many vendors that are laid out there, Adam. It's always fun to go and see that and talk to different people because that's a big deal. And, again, it's free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's open to the public. Anyone can come through there. It's not just for our runners. So anyone can come in and enjoy it and get a feel for what the event's all about. We have entertainment at the expo throughout the 2 days as well. So it's a fun experience. And if you are running, obviously you're there because you have to be there. If you're not running, you just get to come through and have some fun. You get to look at a bunch of nervous runners.
Adam Zox is with us. So what entertainment, what other things can people expect?
We have the entertainment on the course. So about nearly every mile, there's either live music or DJ or party buses. The water stations throughout the course as well, taking care of our runners. You know, Nashville is a city of rapidly changing weather, and we're hoping for a good day on Saturday. Right now, there is rain in the forecast, but it could change a lot. So we want to make sure that every runner is taken care of and is safe. And the finish line, a great finish festival at Nissan Stadium, with food trucks and different beverages and you know, just lots of activity there to enjoy for our runners and for anyone else who wants to be there.
Adam, you talked about it earlier, but the volunteers, I mean, would it take you, 10 hours to thank all the volunteers and what they mean to you guys on this race on Saturday?
Absolutely, yeah. We can't do this event. We cannot be successful without the volunteers that are out at the expo, on the course, at the start line, at the finish line. Nashville Sports Council is our partner in recruiting and managing all the volunteers. Volunteers are basically all local, and they are, you know, the people who want to support the event but are not running this year, and but are so important to making the event what it is.
Adam, if somebody's listening, I was like, you know what, I wouldn't mind volunteering on Saturday. Is it too late to do that? And I don't mean to put you on the spot with all that. If they wanted to volunteer.
No. It's not too late. You can go to our website and click on volunteers. RunRockAndRoll.com is the website, and then hit Nashville. And we definitely have room for our volunteers, especially at the expo on the late shift on Thursday and Friday afternoon, and even on Saturday at race day at the water stations on the course and at the start and finish lines. We can always use more support out there.
That is fantastic. Adam, we're looking forward to it. I know it's just an awesome event every year, but thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with everything.
Great. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Adam Zox joining us here on the program. The St. Jude's Rock and Roll Nashville Run Series. This is, year what? How many of these?
26.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yep, we were going to do that, but we got derailed. Remember Dr. Crane?
We had some... We were going to.
I've done 15 halves.
Well, I think for 40. I would like to do one for 40.
So next year, we'll turn 39 this year. Look, if my fat ass can do this, you guys can do this. I've done 15. I got all the medals. You just run. The best advice I ever got was first year that I was nervous, and John Dwyer was like, here's your advice. Just run. I'm like, pretty good, John. That sums it up. Just run. And so that's what we did. Just run. So I tell you. Have you done it, Dr. Crane?
Not this one, but I have participated in the marathon before.
Oh, what did you do?
Not this one. It was for, like, breast cancer awareness.
Okay.
Oh, a marathon.
Yeah, a marathon. Yes.
How far did you go?
I did the, half marathon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something happens to you when you cross the finish line. I tell everybody, something happens to you mentally, physically, when you cross the finish line.
It's a euphoric feeling. It really is.
Whether you walk 13 miles or whether you run 13 miles or whatever it is for the half, something happens. And it's you're with tens of thousands of other people going through the same thing you're going through. And when you cross that finish line, I'm telling you, it's a special – you're never the same in a good way after this. So next year, Chase, you're doing it.
Okay.
Now, I don't want the old okay when you're watching wrestling videos. I want you to tell me that you're in.
I'm not watching wrestling.
Tell me you're in.
I'm in.
Okay. Dr. Crane?
I mean, yeah. Easy as pie. We're doing this, bad boy.
Yeah.
Pickle juice in the backpack, a little bit of mustard packs. We're good to go.
I mean, I fully expect to blow a knee out or pull a hammy or something, but, you know.
So what? You're living life, man.
If you have the pickle juice, Chase, you're not cramping. I promise you.
No.
I trust you. I trust Dr. Crane. I trust you too.
You're not cramping. What's the day, the Krampus guy? What's his name? Remember?
Oh, yeah. That's in December, I believe.
Krampus Day. When does Beaver Day come back around?
I think we have about 350 days for that.
Well,
back.
You know, that's the best part of this show is
it is
figuring all that stuff out.
Right, man.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHound.com. A few more of our question of the day, which is what musician passing away really bothered you? We've had a lot of answers on this. 3672, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison. That's
weren't they all 27? Weren't they all
26 or 27, something like
Cobain's
that.
Cobain's part of that club?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's crazy, man.
William says Leroy Moore from Dave Matthews Band, who's a founding member, saxophonist.
Oh.
Thomas in Nashville. Kenny Rogers was a big one for me. That was just a few years ago, right?
Yep. And the songwriter passed away last week, Don Schlitz, that wrote that. Don Schlitz wrote that song, The Gambler. I think he was 23 years old.
Wow. 8815, Steve from the Borough says Dimebag Darrell of Pantera.
That's a big one. That's a huge one.
6240, Lemmy of Motorhead, a true one of a kind. That was a good one. Chris LeDoux.
Oh, yeah. Worn out tape, but Chris LeDoux. Lonely Women and Bad Booze.
Yep. Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. That's from Dean in Greenbrier. The Day the Music Died.
Dean, are you that old?
Kevin says Randy Rhoads died in a plane crash in Leesburg, Florida, not Daytona. The plane was piloted by the bus driver high on cocaine, clipped the tour bus, showing off, and crashed.
I thought it was Ormond Beach, like next door. But that's right. Still terrible.
Keith Whitley.
Mm.
And then, a lot of...
that's coming up on 37 years. He died in 1989.
Dustin in Hopkinsville. Here's a local one. Phil Valentine from local political radio.
Was he a singer at one time? Maybe he was.
No. I know we're saying musicians, but that's a good one.
I think Phil was a singer before he got into
radio.
Okay.
I have no idea. Coming up next, I do know this. We'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. It is time for What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays. Hit it, Dr. Crane.
Okay, first on the list we have St. Hacienda Day, which is the Texas Independence. So hopefully I pronounced that properly.
Hacienda?
Hacienda.
Hacienda.
I looked up the pronunciation, so hopefully that's correct.
That's not part of your job. We like you just winging it.
Well, again, I'm still winging it, even though I looked up the pronunciation. So that makes it even better. National Chickpea Day. It's always delicious in a salad. National Big Word Day. Yeah, that.
We don't have those on this show.
You get that from 3 to 6.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah.
Bulldogs are beautiful day, as always.
They are.
Keep off the grass day. There you go, the boomer day, I guess you could call it. Kindergarten day is today. National tea day. National rendering day, but it doesn't show computer rendering. All right. Thank you for libraries day. Okay. Tuna rights day. Didn't know the fish had rights. Interesting. World Creativity and Innovation Day. And last but definitely not least, National Chocolate-Covered Cashews Day.
Mm. So that like, sounds good.
I do like those.
Chocolate-covered nuts are pretty good.
Anyway,
time for celebrity birthdays.
What you got, Joe?
Just saying.
Got to get these within two. You know the game, how it's played. America's most popular game. We don't waste your time.
No, we don't.
All right. Yesterday's game was, I got to, for 5 seconds, was pathetic. Chase wins 2-0. I don't feel like I got the best effort from you two. So today I want a better effort out of this. So with that being said, Dr. Crane, until you win, you'll go first.
Yes, coach.
How old is Tony Danza? Samantha. How old is Tony Danza?
73.
72. 75. Dr. Crane's on the board.
I went the wrong way.
Former New York Met reliever, Chase, Jesse Orozco.
63.
58. 69.
Nice.
Sophomoric. Dr. Crane, Ed Belfour, hockey player.
The goalie.
58.
60.
61. We're tied at one. Chase, you better get this one. Tony Romo.
I don't know, Jim.
Tony.
I'm going to say Romo is
45. 48. 46. Chase was up 2-0. Dr. Crane, hockey player Vincent LeCavalier.
Like Art Vandelay?
He was the first pick in the 1998 NHL entry draft. The second pick by the Tampa Bay Lightning. The second pick was David Legwan by the Nashville Predators.
Wow. 44.
46.
Tied at 2. Chaser, how old is musician Iggy Pop?
58.
50. 79.
Jeez.
Dr. Crane, how old is actress Andy McDowell? She was in Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
77.
67.
68. Chaser gets it. 3-2. Chaser, how old is Robert Smith, the lead singer of The Cure?
72.
70.
67. Dr. Crane, friend of the show, actor comedian Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle is 54.
53.
56. We're tied at 3. Chaser, how old is actor James McAvoy? He was in, what's the movie where they go into the closet?
I don't know if I want to watch that movie.
What's Narnia?
I
didn't think about that.
I was going to say the Birdcage, but I think that's the other way around.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. It Narnia, he's a centaur. He's like half man, half donkey, whatever they are.
The horse. I don't know where you were going.
All right. Well, they go in the closet, right? At their grandma's house during the war?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
James McAvoy. How old is
Good
he?
Lord. 72.
I'm going to go with 63.
47. You guys need to go in the closet more often. Dr. Crane, actress Patti LuPone. She was in the show with Corky. What's the name of that show? Life Goes On. Life Goes On. No. Life Goes
68.
On.
70.
77. You know who it is. Chaser, guitar player Michael Timmons, lead guitar player of Cowboy Junkies.
58.
62.
67. We're tied at 3, so we got a little time here. Dr. Crane, how old is rapper Michael Frante of Spearhead?
44.
40.
60. Chaser, actor Toby Stevens was in Die Another Day with Bruce Willis. How old is he today?
67.
64.
57. Some of these I've never heard of. Oh, let's see here. Dr. Crane, how old is singer Sydney Sirota of Echo Smith?
44.
53.
29.
I have no idea who any of these
are. All right, one more. It's going to be a tie. Chaser, how old is a guitar player of, how about this? Comedian Nicole Sullivan of King of Queens. Comedian Nicole Sullivan.
52.
56.
56, exactly.
Nice.
At the buzzer, job, Dr. Crane takes it 5-3.
Well done,
buddy.
Thank
well
you. I think done. I see pigs flying outside.
There might be.
You're coming great. Out of that closet Joe was talking about.
That's the only way I can remember the movie. They went into the closet.
I don't even know what a cent horse is. What'd you call it?
It's like a half man, half horse,
like
right?
Like a centurion or cent,
is it called a centaur? Is that what it is?
That's in Vegas, man.
All I know about is radio towers, all right?
If you look like it's half man,
I think
man,
you
got to
go out
horse.
To the desert for that.
But not in the closet. They find those out there.
Maybe okay, Dickerson there bike. I don't
know. Hey-o. Whoa. Good loud.
Anywho, that's going to do it.
We're out early today.
Might be a good idea. Good stuff on the question of the day and everything else, but we appreciate the support as always. Again, Joe and I are going to be with Derek as a part of our draft coverage coming up Thursday night from T-Line in West Nashville, and we are almost there, just a couple of days away.
Yes, we are. Hey, we leave the show every day. We tell you how great you are, how wonderful you are, because we believe it. To our guys out there, if you're struggling, going through something, I tell you to go to therapy. Know how much God loves you, how important you are in this world. I shared something on my socials I'll share with you as well. A great parable that I love to bring up all the time. This guy asks a gardener, why do your flowers grow so beautifully? What do you do? And the guy says, I don't do anything to them. I just remove what stops them from growing. Mm. So in your life, remove the negativity within yourself. Know how powerful you are, how wonderful you are, how amazing you are, and how much growth you got. Keep asking God for opportunities. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, know how much God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is coming your way next here on 102.5 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.